this morning's message, the betrayer coming.
And he's coming in all our lives. He was there when God formed Adam and Eve and placed them in the garden. He didn't warn them of the betrayer coming to deceive them, but he did warn them of what not to do. He warned them of his word. He told them not to eat of the tree that was in the midst of the garden. That tree stood for disobedience to God. Today he tells us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. With that admonition, with that warning, screamed throughout the ages by his prophets, let us not be deceived that the betrayer comes. Our reading scripture came from the book of Psalms, the 41st chapter, in the 9th verse. And our scripture text comes from Jeremiah, the 41st chapter, the 1st through the 10th verse. Now, Adam, he knew. He knew. He was not deceived. Eve was deceived. She was in transgression. But both of them suffered the consequences of her partaking of that tree. We'll see this morning that God's prophets had preached, had spoke God's word, and it went throughout the land. And these people had heard it. These people followed in the tracks of Adam. We'll see that they were disobedient to God's word, and that the betrayer was here, and that they will go be subject to a line of destruction. And that's what we're subject to today, a line of destruction. And it's because of our disobedience to God's word. Now, you can't say that you hadn't heard, for the grace of God had appeared unto all men. That salvation of God had appeared to you. Now, whether you took heed to it or not, well, it determines what situation you're in today. You'll notice that if you're studying the word of God. Let's read our scripture text this morning. Now it came to pass the 7th month that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama, of the seed royal, he was a part of David's family. He thought he belonged it, that he would be subject to the throne, or that he was in heart of Judah, of that lineage. And that he didn't want to lie there. But he wasn't really a follower of God, though, because we know this man wasn't of God. As we read on, it says, and the princes of the king, 10 men with him, came unto Jedaliah, the son of Achan, the king of Mizpah. There they did eat bread together in Mizpah. Now, these men were some that had defected from the administration of Zedekiah. It's as if, like with our Secretary of Defense, that he was with the Bush administration, and at one time he went to the Obama administration. But whatever, who's there, he's serving. He's saying he's loyal to the United States. He's loyal to this nation. But we see, just like Ishmael, some people are loyal to themselves. They are loyal only to themselves. And we see where it says that he ate with them, that he did sit down and eat at the invitation. And that's why our president may have error. You have to watch who you're inviting to your table. Jesus knew whom he had invited to the table, for he had told them that he had chosen those 12, but one was a devil. He knew it ahead of time. He had prophesied in the song that he was going to have to replace him. And Paul was that replacement. Let's not get into the 12 and 13 apostles, or those that the lot fell on, that Peter and them chose. For we know Paul was a chosen vessel of the Lord, that this was his place and station as that 12th apostle. But we're looking at here, as in when the psalm that David reflects on, that he was, when he had betrayed Ahithophel with his granddaughter Bathsheba, as I told you, And sooner or later, deception comes upon you. What you sow, you shall reap. And that the consequences had failed to him when God was tearing his home apart by his son Absalom, that Ahithophel sided with Absalom on that deal. And see, sometimes when you take a person in your confidence, as maybe the president took the Secretary of Defense into his confidence, the person that you trust the most, your wife, your husband, your children, your parents. So a lot of times parents betray the children now because they didn't ask to come into this world and be abused. They didn't ask to come into this world and be misused and misled and used as a vehicle. As Saul used his daughter Michal as bait for David, he said maybe she would hinder him. Maybe she could be a trap and a snare to him. See, with your deceiving and cunning and conniving, when it comes back upon you, beware. It's only one that wasn't worthy of being betrayed. But David said in the Psalms 41:9, yea, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, had lifted up his heel against me. That was Ahithophel. That was our friend, Mr. Gates. That was Judas Iscariot. That's whoever in your life has come to betray you, who you trusted so much. It hurt when you trust someone. When you're betrayed by that one that you took in confidence. Because if you married this woman or this man, a lot of times if you've done what God says, you've left the home of your parents, you've forgot what your parents talked against this person or whatever you said, until death do us part, you were faithful to them. You gave up mother, father, sister, and brother for that spouse, and now that spouse have turned on you. That's a betrayal there. That's where you hurt at. That's where you hurt at when you're in labor with a child and you've raised that child ever since it was small, whether you be a father or a mother, and you've given it and nurtured it and bedded it and boarded it and did all these things and fed it and trusted that child and gave all you had for that child. And now after 18 or 20 or 30 years, they say, well, my friends know better. They betray you for their friends. They look to their friends more than they can look out for you. That their friends looking out for their betterment. A lot of them, children turn on the parents and they join gangs. They say, well, the gang members take better care of me than you do. They turn on the parents, the one who have provided for them all that time. A lot of times church members get in church, people came to the church in all awkward kind of positions and come from jail or sickness or some financial distress or some kind of trouble or something and coming to the Lord and coming to the church. And when they get up, when they get to be somebody or think they somebody, then they're more than the people in the community. They're more than the people in the church. They turn on that pastor. They turn on their church members. That's deception. The ones you trust, the one that's sitting right at the table with you. Jesus sat right there and said, the one who betrayeth me, sit at the table. It is one whom when I sop, I give it the sop to. So betrayal comes in all shapes and forms, and don't think you above it, because when he said it's the one who, when I dip it in the dish and give the sop to, he was doing it to all of them. All of them could have been a betrayer. You see, because Peter denied that he knew him. He never gave it away that he was talking to Judas. They had asked him several times. But he wanted that doubt to fall in their mind that at any time, any one of them could have been the betrayer. Any one of them could have been the betrayer. And that's why when they said, is it I? He said, thou sayest. Do you think that you have betrayed Christ? See, once you come to that point to see, yes, I have betrayed him. I have turned my back on him. I haven't done what I was supposed to do. I had been warned, and I have not acted toward God the way I should do. He wanted all of them to be in doubt. During that custom of the time, as sitting and eating, you would see that they would dip bread into a dish and they would sop it into the gravy or the wine or whatever in the dish, and that's how they would eat. They would pass the bread around, sopping in that one dish, all of them. It's like the Roman Catholic Church that all drank of that one chalice, of that cup. They're taking partaking of the bread. They're all in unison together. So those you trust the most. And see, but he had been warned, just like we've been warned before we eat of the bread, before we drink of the cup. that what that stands for, what that means. Well, Jedaliah, he had been warned by Johanan. He had said, Ishmael seeketh to kill you. He's out to try to kill you. Do you want me to kill him before he kills you? That's a whole different character, a whole different subject. We know that Jedaliah took the high road in which he should have, which we should have, and leave the battle in the Lord's hand. And that we shouldn't kill. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So that wasn't advisable to make a preemptive strike. It wasn't advisable. It wouldn't have been diplomatic. That's not how our president acts. Each man is giving himself a chance, an opportunity to become Satan himself. Each one of us has been given a chance, an opportunity to show God how much we love him and to deny ourselves. Also, we've been given that opportunity to become corrupt. So we must take heed to God's word and pursue after righteousness. Pursue after righteousness. Disobedience brings about a whole lot. And here I said Jedaliah wasn't a responsible leader. He wasn't aware of the word of God. He hadn't taken in consideration the word of God, as these people hadn't taken of the consideration the word of God. As a lot of us today, we hear God's word, but we're not doers of God's word. We're not letting it be embedded in our hearts and let it be assimilated in us and become a part of us, that man shall live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Not just hear it, because in the book of 1 Corinthians, it tells us, if one be a fornicator, even a brother, if someone else is not doing right in the church, have no fellowship with him. We shouldn't be having associations with evil associates in the world. We shouldn't be partaking of that. So that's where he was wrong at, to invite this man to the table to dinner, because he hadn't showed evidence of repentance. The Bible says, forgive your brother if he repents. See, that's one thing about forgiveness. It says, if they repent. Did he repent? He had been where he had been. He had been with the Ammonites. You remember, that's the king who had sinned. He had been with the enemy. He showed no allegiance to God, because, like I said, they were all rebels, as we're all sinners. And so he had been with these rebels, and he'd come in to have dinner. Well, you wasn't here fighting a fight against Babylon. You had ran to the enemies of God, the Ammonites and the Moabites. Those were sworn enemies at one time. But you were there with them. You were disobedient to God, because Jeremiah had been preaching some 40 years to go into captivity. You didn't go into captivity. So you were a rebel. You were a maverick. You were out for yourself anyhow. So why should I sit down and eat and take off God from you? And somebody had already told me that you're trying to kill me. Listen in what the scriptures say on that. Paul is addressing the Corinthians here. 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, 1st and the 13th verse. He says, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, impurity of a sort that is condemned and does not occur even among the heathen, for a man to have his own father's wife. And you are proud and arrogant, and you ought to rather to mourn, a bow in sorrow and shame, until this person who has done this shameful thing is removed from your fellowship or from your midst. As for my attitude, though I'm absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and I have already decided in past judgment as if I was actually present. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the man who has committed such a deed, when you and my own spirit are meet together with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, you are to deliver this man over to Satan for physical discipline, to destroy carnal lust which prompts him to commit incense. That is, that his spirit yet may be saved in the day of the Lord. Instead of going along with your children or your spouse or whoever it may be, if the Secretary of Defense felt this way, he might not have should have joined that administration. You see, these Judases that joined, and a couple of people did President Bush that. That you had been in league with this man and then you go write a tell-all book about it. You get into a deal just like a lot of women get into a relationship with a man and then go back and tell. Well, you're betraying the deal that you had made with that person. What type of person? Nobody's going to trust you either because you betray the deals that you get in. Well, if he didn't think of the president's character or whatever, he should have did as Sanjay Gupta did, one of the ones that Obama asked to be over the, I think it was the Secretary of Health, the guy, the person that looks over to tobacco, that little label, Surgeon General. And Gupta said no, and he accepted a position, I think, with CNN. But before you come into the church, you sit on the mourner's bench. That's what the Baptist church used to have. You sit down and think before you join up with the church. You sit down and think. You can't do that when you're birthed into your family, but you can do that being birthed. Before you join the church, you count the cost. Are you willing to deny all and take up your cross and follow after him? You may have to deny mother, father, sister, or brother. But before you join in league with me, before I take you into my confidence, tell me that you're a snake in the grass. Before we get married, won't you just, you're not going to act right if that's in you, because it's no use in me and you going that way and we become enemies. It's better that you say we're not compatible and we just won't even start down that road. I hope you would just at least grant me that you would tell me you're not going to act right. That's part of your nature, and you don't want to be changed. You have to want this. You have to want what Christ is offering you. You have to hunger and thirst after it. And I'm loyal to this. I'm loyal to the Word of God. Jedediah might have been loyal, but he was ignorant. In other words, he didn't fully stand up on God's Word. That's what we have to do. Purge all these things out of us, and if not, turn them over for the destruction of the flesh. Disassociate with that person until they come in proper perspective, walking with you. How can two walk together unless they be in agreement? You got to drop your religion if you go follow after this one. You can't hold on to both. And so what he says is, about the condition of your church, your boasting is not good, and indeed is both unseemly and entirely out of place. Do you not know that just a little leaven will ferment the whole lump of dough? If I'm preaching on homosexuality, he could come in here. A lesbian could come in here. But we go preach on that. We're not going to drop that doctrine. We'd be good to you. We're not going to be offensive to you. But that leaven has to be purged out. We will stay on that doctrine that it's not right to be like that. You got to want to change what you is. You got to say, God, I'm not right. This is not a natural desire that's in me. It's not a spiritual desire. It's a carnal lust. And your word says, I shouldn't lie with man. If I'm another man, I shouldn't lie with that man. Something in me is not right. In that I need this exercise out of me. But you can't come in here and say you have to accept me just as I am. Nowhere in the Bible he says he's going to accept you just as you are. He says you come unto him and he's going to give you a new heart, a new way of thinking. You can't keep thinking like that way. We can't be joined to a harlot. No, we have to allow you to come in. We have to preach and teach to you that you realize the error of your way, that you're being vainly deceived, that you don't come in here in a treacherous way and say you want to change, but then you just in here to trap someone else. Don't come in under that pretense. If Judas couldn't release what he had toward money or toward covetousness and greed, he shouldn't have joined up with him. It had to be much more than that because eventually he throwed away the silver that he had gotten for betraying Christ. Johanan, he tried to destroy Ishmael, but Ishmael got away. After Ishmael slain Jedaliah, he didn't stay there to rule over Judah. He didn't stay and reign. He didn't stand his ground. When Johanan came in, they slayed the men that were with Ishmael. Ishmael wasn't loyal to them because him and the other men escaped and went somewhere else. So you was just a deceitful worker. You allowed the king of Ammon to use you. Who you letting use you today? Who you yield yourselves members to him, you are servants to obey? Are you yielding it to righteousness of God? Are you yielding to the world to do deceptive things? So we have to purge out the old leaven. As I sit here and I talk to my children, my spouse, to y'all, to anyone that come in and tell them what thus saith the Lord. Now, if you hate me personally, then that's malice. That's treachery. That's deceit. That's hatefulness. But if you hate me for what I'm saying, then that's that you hate God. And that you need to find out, is there God? And that you need to say, Lord, have mercy upon me and show me the way. He can straighten you out. But you can't come in here and want to hold on to what you are. You got to realize you're in bad shape. The church has to realize it's in bad shape. There's nowhere where it says Ishmael realized he was in bad shape. The whole time he was sitting at dinner waiting to find out at what's the best time to rise up and put the knife in Ishmael's back. Judas, he waited and saw what the best time was to destroy Jesus, to betray him. Right now, the person that's trying to get next to you, they wait till you're at your most vulnerable, and that's when they attack you. They take the most advantage of you, and sometimes you're too old to recover from that. I can't keep starting over in life, so I shouldn't keep falling in the same traps. Sometimes it's not like if I was young and they betrayed me, and then 10 or 15 years later they betrayed me again. But if I keep falling for that same trap, I'm going to be like Samson. Samson was fooled by Delilah several times that she kept telling him the Philistines be upon him. And he escaped three or four times. But that one time when he was faithful and told her the truth and betrayed God, turned his back on God and told his secrets to divinity, that's the time she incapacitated. That's the time God left him and he knew it not. So he says, keep the feast. Keep being good to people. Don't stop fellowshipping with people. Don't stop not allowing the harlot. Let the harlots come into the church. Publicans and harlots will go in before some of these Pharisees. Don't stop not trying to convert people. Have fellowship. God didn't take you out of the world. He tried to keep you from the evil that's in the world. So be good as Jedaliah was being good. But be wise as serpents, though. You have to be wise as a serpent. Be wise, and not childlike in understanding, as we said the other night, but childlike in malice. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of vice and malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of purity and sincerity and unadulterated truth. I wrote you in my previous letter not to associate closely or habitually with unchaste or unpure people. Not fornicators of this world, not people that's loving the world, not people, all these things in a habitual way. Yeah, you go cross paths with them. But don't be a close associate of these people. Don't allow them in your homes all the time. If they have not this doctrine, you should keep aloof of them. Keep far away. Not meaning, of course, that you must altogether shun the immoral people of this world, or the greedy graspers and the cheats and the thieves or idolaters. Since otherwise you would need to get out of the world and human society altogether, because like I say, we all are the same father, but a lot of us are crooks, a lot of us are immoral. But he's talking if a brother in the church, because this person is not only not true to himself, he's not true to God. And if he's not true to God, he's not going to be true to you. If a person's in the church and can commit adultery, can commit a homosexuality, thieving and lying and deceptive practices and all these things, if he'll come in God's church and do those things, what do you think he'll do to you? But now I write to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of Christian or Christ, a brother, if he is known to be guilty of immorality or greed or is an idolater, whose soul is devoted to any object that you search the place of God. If they're too devoted to their children, their spouses, their wives. If God's not first in their life, be careful of that person. If God's not first in that person's life, be careful of you. Of a person with a foul tongue, railing, abusing, or reviling a slanderer, or as a drunkard, or a swindler, or a robber. No, you must not so much as eat with such a person. Now, we have that plainly in New Testament language, which would have helped it generalize a lot if he was obedient to the word of God. That's why I say Adam and Eve, if they were obedient to the word of God, all this wouldn't have come upon them. You see, these things come upon us. Have we done such as that? See, that's why I say we have to look at this thing as us, that it's talking to us. Remember the title of the sermon, and we could put leaders in that. Leaders, beware of the betrayal of coming. That means leaders of households, leaders of one head households, leaders of the church, leaders of a job. Watch it. Satan wants to get you, and he'll get the rest of them that's following you. That's what Ishmael did. He got them, and someone else got the rest of them because they were all disobedient. He says, what business is it of mine? Is it what right I have to judge outsiders? That's what I would keep telling you. We don't have a right to judge those outside the church. Is it not those inside the church upon whom you are to pass disciplinary judgment? That's who we should be judging, the brother. That's why I say, let Brother Hubbard do something. Let you do something. Let one of y'all do something. Let my wife do something. Those that are in the church, and I'm going to tell them about it, and then I'll tell one of you about it and take you to them and tell them about it with you. Because this is serious. This is not no joking, man. Because what happens to you affects us all. If we become one with Christ, if something happens in your family, you can't say I'm being nosy. Because this, you are a member of the body of Christ now. What happens to you happens to us all. If people see you not running your house right, it's representative of the church. It says this is how all the men is in the church. This is how all the women is in the church. This is what that church allows. Because right now, if I go out and do something, that's going to reflect people always to say, well, look, I don't want to go to that church. Because you know what your preacher do? Or you know how your preacher is? You're members of the body of Christ. You have to abstain from those appearances. You have to be wise. It's going to point to all of us, whatever you do. Be faithful to God unto death. Be faithful to God unto death. Now, Ishmael was faithful unto the death, but it was his own death. And that he brought that about. It wasn't that he was standing up for God. He died as a fool, just like David said, Amasa died as a fool. You remember Abner stabbed Amasa to death, and he stabbed Abner to death. He killed two different people. And David says they died as a fool. Why? They trusted Joab, knowing Joab wasn't no good. That was David's general, and David didn't trust Joab. If you notice, at the end of David's life, David told Solomon to kill Joab, did not allow Joab to die a natural death. Because Joab wasn't no good, but David needed Joab during the time David was king. See, God gives us things that are bad. Sometimes he can give you a bad spouse. All of us don't have good spouses now. He can give you a bad wife or husband. He can give you bad children or bad parents. But that's to put you on God. That's why he says pray for your enemy. Because until you wake up and realize that's your enemy. But then that's teaching you, you should be asking God for wisdom, because now you got a real problem, ain't you? Listen at this, don't y'all? You got a real problem if you find out your wife is your enemy. You find out your husband your enemy, or your mama, your daddy your enemy, or your children your enemy. Because hear now what Jesus says. I didn't come to bring peace upon the earth. But we must follow peace with all men, right? Okay, so he says, behold, Matthew 10:16-40. Behold, I'm sending you out like sheep in the midst of wolves. Be wary. Be aware. be wise as serpents, but be innocent. In other words, harmless and guileless. Not trickery, not deceitful, not with malice, not out to kill or destroy. That's why I say Jedaliah was like Christ. He didn't want to kill. He couldn't kill Ishmael. He says, and without falsity. Don't be a pretentious. Don't be a hypocrite. Be harmless as a dove. Okay, we got a list of things here where we got to be. But we must honor our parents, right? If that child finds that parent against him, he still must honor that parent. Be on guard against men whose way or nature is to act in opposition to God. For they will deliver you up to councils and flog you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake and a witness to bear testimony before them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not be anxious about how or what you shall speak, for what are you to say will be given to you in that very hour and moment. For it is not you who are speaking, but the Spirit of the Father through you. The Spirit speaking to you if you've been obedient to God. Because God's telling you to love your enemy. So you can't hate your mother or father even though they're your enemy. You have to find a way to honor them. Even though your wife maybe have become your enemy, you have to do just like Judas. Jesus did Judas. He didn't betray who Judas was. He didn't tell nobody else Judas. Judas didn't even suspect that the Lord knew who he was. So you still have to love your spouse. You still have to love or serve that employee. Peter said, be faithful to those that are under masters, even though they're not kind, even though these people treat you bad, people in the world treat you bad, you have to stick or be obedient to the word of God. Brother will deliver a brother to death and father his child, and children will take a stand against their parents and will have them put to death. So he's warning you this is coming. It happened the other week. A 16-year-old boy shot his mama right out there. It says the grandmother was killed by this boy. This boy killed his girl. It's in your homes. The destruction is in your home. It was in David's home. One son raped the daughter. That son killed the other son. Solomon killed Adonijah. They were killing and murdering. These things going to go on. This is how God's testing you. He's trying you. You must remain faithful to his word. The betrayers come. Let not this hurt you. He told you these were going to betray you. It isn't so bad. It's Jedaliah, when he was closing his eyes in death as Ishmael struck him, he probably was thinking and saying, Johanan warned me. Johanan had told me. I should have listened. That child will say, mama told me or whatever. Sometimes you might not can save that child. You might not can save that parent. You might not can save that marriage. But somewhere in the back of their mind they say, you know, my first husband was better than this husband. This guy's nothing but mistreating me and he's like a dog. And I did my husband this way and now someone's doing me worse. It's on their conscience now. You may not rectify or change that situation, but at least you in God. If you've honored your parents and not curse your parents, because if you curse your parents, then you brought the wrath of God upon you. So you must find a way. You must be obedient to God's word. That's the predicament we in there. That's why we got to lean and trust on him. He says, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who perseveres and endures to the end will be saved from spiritual disease and death in the world to come. Now, he's promising you a new life in the next life. It doesn't mean you'll live forever here. You will sleep. It's a lot of us have to die. John the Baptist had to lose his head. A lot of us may not make it through, but he says, be faithful unto death. Be faithful to him. Don't work deception. No matter how this goes, don't work treachery. Treachery, because you will be betrayed here. If they've done it to the green tree, they'll do it to you. When they persecute you in one town, that is, pursue you in a manner that would injure you or cause you to suffer because of your belief, flee to another. For truly I tell you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. So these people that were fleeing, going, they should have been believing in God, and there was prophets, a priest around them that had migrated from Israel. The Word of God was out there. If they would have sought it, we have to seek for the Word of God with all our heart. We have to keep hungering and thirsting for it. Search for it with all your might. It's worthy to be found. It's like a precious pearl hidden. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor is a servant or slave above his master. It is sufficient for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant or the slave like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they speak evil of those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is concealed that will not be revealed, a kept secret that will not become unknown. What I say to you in the dark, I tell it in the light. What you hear and whispered in the ear, proclaim up on the housetops. And do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But be rather afraid of those that can destroy both soul and body. It says, but whoever denies, verse 33, but whoever denies and disowns me before men, I will deny and disown before my Father who is in heaven. When you deny Christ, it's not that you have to verbally deny Christ. Are you listening at me good here? We can deny a person in our action. We don't have to say, I don't know Christ. We don't have to say, I'm not a believer. But just by committing sin, by committing deceit, by working against another, by doing things that are not scripture, in other words, being a slanderer, a murmurer, a complainer, or someone that does these things, the ones that Jesus told, I never knew you, was the ones he said, you that commit iniquity. That's legalization. That's known for sin. You're committing willful sin. You're trying to avenge yourself on others. You're trying to take care of yourself when you should trust on the Lord. Depend on the Lord to take care of you. See, you used to try to take care of yourself when you're in the world. But now your trust should be in God, that He'll provide your every need. You don't have to work chicanery to get your things done for you. That's the way we once walked when we were in darkness. We were deceivers. We were liars. We were all kinds of these things. We shouldn't do things with the intent of malice in our heart, with the intent of deception in our lives. He says, a man's foes shall be those of his own household. Do not think that I have come to bring peace on the earth. I have come not to bring peace, but a sword, because his word divides. All the problems and things that you're having, that's going to be natural. That's in a natural procession of things. But remember, all things work together for good for those that love the Lord. For I have come to part a man from his father, a daughter from a mother, a newly married wife from her mother-in-law. A man's foes will be they of his own household. But he who loves or takes more pleasure in father or mother more than in me is not worthy of me. And he who loves or takes more pleasure in his son or daughter more than in me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow me, that cleaves steadfastly to him, conforming wholly to the example in living, and if be need be, in dying also, is not worthy of me. So in living and dying, we should walk according to his example as he had done. Now that's how you say you're Christ. That's how you remain faithful to the end. That's what should keep you, because you've already committed the transgression. We've already was found sinners. So when things are happening to you, you need not be like Job and say, Lord, show me my sin, or where is my sin? For you know you have sin. There's no man that's living that does not have sin. But you should look to the one that's the propitiation for your sin. Look for the advocate, the one who pleads your case. Father, we know he's sinned, but I've died for his sin. Cast your burdens and cares on Jesus Christ. Look unto him. He's the one who died for you. He's the one who justifies you. You walk in Christ. Look unto Christ. He's not going to lay no burden on you that you can't bear. So Jeremiah, Baruch, Abimelech, these three people were still doing the works of God. And he was the only ones that God had promised that they would save their lives. Now, riches didn't come to either one of those. And God told him, like he told Baruch, he hadn't promised him riches. Don't look for those things. But that you will save your lives. So all of your hopes and dreams may not come true. That which you relied on and hoped on and dreamed on in your life may not come true. Because you may not have been walking circumspect and according to God. But now that you have humbled yourself and placed yourself under God, that you may be getting somewhere in life, take heed to yourself, that when a man thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. Because there's going to be lulls in life, there's going to be time of peace. There's going to come a time when things will get right in your life, and like I said, you're going to look like you're on top of the world, or that you can't remember what has happened in past time. But don't forget about God during those times. There's a reason I said God puts that doubt in there. We need doubting Thomases in the church. That doubt has to be there. Because if you so sure, that's when pride entered in and you may fall. A haughty spirit is when you may fall. That's why he gave Paul a thorn in the flesh to keep him humble. God gives us little problems to keep us humble. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5th chapter 19 to the 23rd verse. It says, do not quench, suppress, or subdue the Holy Spirit. Do not spurn the gifts and utterances of the prophets. Do not depreciate prophetic revelation, nor despise inspired instructions or exhortations of warnings. That's what I do consistently. That's what we should be doing, is exhorting one another. That's why when we see things or see a brother in a fault or see things going on wrong with someone in the fellowship, we should tell those people. We shouldn't hate one another, despise one another, or say somebody's minding in our business for trying to give us advice. We can take that advice into consideration, but we don't have to hurt the individual. We can sift it through our mind to decide whether it's true or not. Jedaliah didn't do that, but he told Jonan that it was false. It's not true. He was despising prophetic revelation. He was despising something, and he lost his life for that. For not listening. The Bible says, but test and prove all things until you can recognize what is good and hold fast to that which is good. So until you can disprove something, you may need to take it as true. Until he could disprove that this man wasn't trying to kill him. Until you can disprove that criticism somebody is saying of you. Abstain from evil. Shrink from it. Keep aloof away from it. He should have kept away from Ishmael. He should have kept back. Paul says, keep back from a brother that's doing these things. In whatever form or whatever kind it is, you stay back. The Bible warns you to stay away from it. Listening at that, and may the God of peace himself sanctify you through peace, and sanctify you from profane things, make you pure and holy, consecrated to God. And may your spirit and soul be preserved sound and complete and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. Timothy says in the book of John, 1 John 4:1, he says, beloved, do not put faith in every spirit, but prove or test the spirits to discover whether they proceed from God. When someone tells you something, It's not that you should launch out at that person, but you should test, approve that spirit. We should find out by spirits. He says, try the spirits to see whether they be of God. You never know when God sends an angel in disguise, some messenger to give you a message, whether it would be from God or not. But God had given us his word to analyze this by. Avenge not ourselves. We shouldn't avenge ourselves. We should let wrath be placed in the hand of God. That's why I said Johanan shouldn't have taken retribution. He took retribution in his own hands. And closing this out is depending on God's word. When someone do you evil, when someone do you wrong, avenge not yourself. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. God tells us how to handle these things. And what they've done unto you, they've done unto him. But be wise. Don't put yourself in harm's way just to prove a point or to prove to yourself. That's why Jesus didn't jump. He says, cast thyself down unless thou dash thy foot against a stone. Well, Jesus knew that was the scripture, but he was quoting it wrongly. God says, do not tempt the Lord thy God. Well, don't use your Christianity as a shield. That's using the name of the Lord in vain. Don't come in Jesus' name, come up against this and in Jesus' name in vain, trying to prove yourself, trying to show you someone how much Christian you are. That's using his name in vain the wrong way for nothing. It's not going to profit you anything but that somebody hurt you. Well, I went into that bar and preached in Jesus' name. Well, those was drunkards, and those people were after a whole lot of different things. And you talking about they hit you in the head, or they cut you, or shot you, or something, and you went in there in Jesus' name. You were in the wrong territory, brother. You was using the name of God in vain. That was Satan's area you were in. Did God send you in there? Or you went in there to show and then tell somebody you went in the bar and tamed that bar? You did it to consume that upon your own lust. For if a man thinks him to be somebody, too important to consent to another's load, when he is nobody, when he's superior except in his own estimation, he deceives and deludes and cheats himself. When you go around here thinking you somebody, and I want you to read the rest of that, be not deceived. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. What a man soweth, that what people do to you. Those people that's laying traps and snares for you, they'll fall in a trap. They'll fall in a snare. Their own words will come back to get them. See, God's word is set so that the word mocked there, when it says God is not outwitted, he's not outsmarted. A lot of people go into these prosperity churches and they hear that if you sow a seed and they're looking for finances. And a lot of them go in there and get rich beyond measure. But how many people have you heard as dying as Howard Hughes did, dying millionaires and never finding happiness? See, you didn't forget what true success is. He can give you finances, and at the end of your life, you come to learn that you're living under the sun. There's only one man that you can remember that did that. The wisest natural man ever. The richest man ever. But he was living under the sun. He said all was vanity and vexation of spirit. Life had came to hold nothing for him. This is me, a man with servants born in his house. This is a man with thousands of wives. And he said he hadn't found a good woman. He's not discerning, because he said that God had given him wisdom and discerning, but it wasn't exercised to use because he couldn't discern that the problem lied with him, that he was disobedient to God. What God told him not to do, he did in excess. God says, Solomon, don't go in. Don't join yourself to these strange women. They'll draw your heart far from me. He's so far away. Are you so far away you can't hear God? He said he's had 1,000 women and not one he had found a righteous one. Because God wasn't helping him look. God can give you one wife that can satisfy you for a lifetime. But you have to put God first. You have to be obedient to God. That's the only thing that gives you peace and joy, inner peace, joy, that no man can take from you. You could be ultimately destroyed. The Jews went to Babylon. Those that listened at God went to Babylon, but those that went and their intent was wrong, a lot of them got very wealthy. And they didn't even come back when God called them back. They didn't even come back when God called them back to the promised land. They were so wealthy that they stayed in Babylon. Those are the Jews today that are bank owners, that own the largest percentage of the wealth in the world today. But those Jews are not faithful to God. That's why it says all of Israel is not Israel. They're the ones that had set up this new Israel. This Israel that's there now, that's a man-made Israel. That's man setting up Israel. But the Israel of God is throughout the world. It's the promised seed of Abraham, which is Jew and Gentile, which is a Jew of the heart. If you're depending on God's word, when the betrayer comes, he shall not come nigh thy dwelling. You shall not be deceived. He's going to keep you doing that hour of temptation. During that hour of darkness, you will need to be kept in the word. He says, when the Son of Man come back, will he find faith? Will you be faithful to him? Faith is trusting something you don't see now, but it's the evidence of things unseen. You've been walking with God and you've seen God work in your life. And if you've known that where you've been from and where you're at now, nobody but God could have brought you there. And if you've seen the things God has done in your life, don't deal treacherously with him. Don't deal deceitfully with him. Be faithful. Be standing up on his word and he'll bless you even more. He'll put that enemy under your foot. In Jesus' name, thank you for this day, Lord God. Thank you for the ability to stand before your people and witness to them of your word, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for allowing me, Lord God, to share what I know about you to them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.